These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
I'd like to spend a few moments on the opening section of the Parsha, which we have looked into in a superficial way in past years, and that is the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, there is, on this particular section, a most beautiful comment of the Abravanel. And although I have photocopied it in quite extensive detail, it's only because if you have an opportunity to go over it in full, it certainly will be most rewarding. But I would just like to take the Rosh Prochim from his observation. So the question of the Abravanel asks is a very simple one. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael so much? It appears, as I say superficially, to have a simple answer, but we'll see that the Abravanel, in his own unique way, adds a number of fascinating insights. So we'll begin at the beginning. V'hinei ro'ah Adoneinu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu saw fit lehishtadel, to make every effort, al hachnosoto la'oret, to enter Eretz Yisrael. Kol kach, he made such effort. Lo kidei sheyarichu yemei chayot. He didn't want to go into Israel just for the simple purpose of living longer. Ki yodeyahu, because Moshe Rabbeinu knows full well. Ki kefi ha-sechar ha-mekuveh etzlo ve'olam ha-neshomot, that if he were to contrast any life in this world, even in Eretz Yisrael, with the life in Olam Haba that awaits him, no question, Hoyotov Moso Michayov, the Gemul, the reward, the eternal reward that is awaiting Moshe Rabbeinu as he goes into Olam Haba will far outshine any other spiritual experience on earth. So that's not why he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Lo Gam Kele Cholmi Peiro Sehov Elizabeth Amituva Ulihisaneg Votanu Gashmi, and there is for sure no question that Moshe Rabbeinu does not want to go into Eretz Yisrael in order to derive physical and material pleasure. Who me, and the one of whom it is said, Shetemunas Hashem Yavich, that he saw, as it were, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yechoshem Sheyichsof Le'iyat Tehorim Ohem. We cannot even say that he was anxious to see the geography, the beautiful mountain. But Lo Yechoshemunas HaLavonon, he was not interested in the Lavonon, whatever it may be. So therefore, the question that I have is, why? What are the motives that would prompt Moshe Rabbeinu to desire so fervently to enter into Eretz Yisrael, to the extent that according to our rabbis in the Talmud, Moshe Rabbeinu actually offered up a number of tefillos to be allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael, which corresponds to the gematria of the West Hanan. Many, many hundreds of tefillos. Says the Abravanel, there are four reasons to my mind. Korechot. Kefi ha-medrish shalit ne-nekama desota. The first answer I offer you is the answer given by Chazal themselves. Kedei le-kayem ha-mitzvos ha-teluyos bo. Because in Eretz Yisrael there are mitzvos that can be performed only there. Mitzvos ha-teluyos bo-homet. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael for. Ula osib shleimut al shleimuto. In order, as perfect as he is. But he wants to add even more perfection to what he has already obtained. Ukamosha Omru Mishnah, as it said in the Pirkei Avos, Yafo Shor Achat Viseshuva, Umatim Tovim Olam Azeh, Mikol Chayehu Olam Hava. You cannot compare the hour in this world, which is the world where it is possible to perform mitzvos, where it is possible to respond to the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You cannot compare an hour in this world involved in that type of activity to all the eternal reward that awaits you in Olam Haba. So the first reason why Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael is because it is an opportunity to perform mitzvot, which can only be performed in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvot ha-teluyos ba'or. Number two, v'hatsibo habei. Shekol odom b'tivo yichtof lihiyot hatachlis hameshubach b'peulosan. Any individual who begins an enterprise desires nothing more than to be able to see it through. That is why, says the Abarbanel, Lochein Hoyotok Lolo Ravo, a few lines down, that is why the ultimate curse in the Tochacha is what? Vayit Tivneh, you will build a house, but Oteshevo, but you won't live in it. Kerem Sita, you will plant a vineyard below the Chalalenu, but you will not be able to, as it were, enjoy the fruits of your labor. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has brought Bnei Yisrael out from Eretz Mitzrayim. He has nurtured them and nourished them and guided them and shepherded them for 40 years in the wilderness. He knows where their destination is. It is his fervent desire to be able to see the culmination of all his efforts and endeavors on their behalf, as we say, Hamaschil b'mitzvah, Omrim lo gemor. So that is the second reason, says the Abarbanel, why Moshe Rabbeinu is desirous of going into Eretz Yisrael. For Hatzibo Hagimo, says the Abarbanel, there is a third reason, very interesting reason to my mind. For Avor Vishat Hamaraglim, he was desirous of going into Eretz Yisrael because of the evil report that has been spread about Eretz Yisrael by the Meraglim, who came back and poisoned the minds of the Bnei Yisrael of that generation. Because they brought out an evil report about the land, the Yisrael is pasu el divrehen, and the Bnei Yisrael were seduced by their words, and refused to believe the word of Hashem Shomar, who had said, Shahoyasa Eretz Tova, and they furthermore didn't believe Moshe Rabbeinu, Shahoyo Masre Bohem Alka, who said, no, don't contradict HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's a wonderful land. Don't believe the Meraglim who tell you it is a bad land. Now, says the Abarbanel, this is a further reason why Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wants to see the look on their faces when they come into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to say, you see, I told your parents what the land was like. They should have believed me. They shouldn't have believed the spies. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eblono, all I want to do is I want to walk into the land. And as soon as I spend a moment or two there, and I see the look on their faces, almost, I'm ready to die. Eblono, that's all I want. I want to pass over the Jordan. I want to see, and I want to see them convinced of what it is that Hashem promised them, and what Yahushua and Kalev told them the land was. And then they, I will become assured, will then go on and tell their children and their children after them at Sofal Adoros about the land and its sanctity. That's the third reason. So that he will be able to personally witness the refutation of the evil opinion which was given by the Meraglim and which had caused so much trouble in the ranks of Bnei Yisrael. And Vahasibo Hadalid, Shehishtadel Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashulam Lavor Elawonet, Kedei Lavor Ulehishtacheach Bahar Hamoriah. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Another reason, says the Abarbanel, because Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go straight to Yerushalayim, and he wants immediately, and it would have been so, says the Abarbanel, had Moshe Rabbeinu come in with them. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go with them up to Har Hamoriah, to Yerushalayim, identify the place where the Beit HaMikdash is to be built, and become involved in the erection of the Beit HaMikdash, in the same way, says the Abarbanel, as Moshe Rabbeinu was so involved in the erection of the Mishkan. So therefore, that is alluded to when it says, Ha'ol HaTov HaZev HaHalav Onel. Ha'ol HaTov, the good mountain, is none other than Har HaMoriah, where the Beit HaMikdash is to be built. So these, as I say, in short, but nevertheless, they certainly add an element to the opening section of the Parsha. What I would like to draw your attention to now is Pasuk Kaf Vav. I wanted to go over Vayitaber Hashem bi lemanachem, and Hashem did not allow me lemanachem because of you. And here I want to draw your attention to a theme which we discussed last week through the Perush of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. How Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into Eretz Yisrael already at the time of the Meraglim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already decreed at the time of the Meraglim that the Bnei Yisrael were going to be exiled, and had they come into Eretz Yisrael and had Moshe Rabbeinu come in with them and built them the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash would not have been able to be destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have had no alternative but to vent his anger on Bnei Yisrael Chas V'Sholom, and there would have been no Golus, there would have been the end of the Jewish people. That's the Ora Chaim HaKadosh's Cheshbon. We will see that the Sephora has something the same but different. Vayitaveir Hashem di lema'anechem, and Hashem was not prepared to do so, to agree to my prayer, to answer my prayer, lema'anechem. Now look what the Sephora says. Mipenei, the reason why he couldn't let me come in, is mipenei shehoyiti mitaveir lekayem etchem bo, because my intention in going over with you into Eretz Yisrael was lekayem etchem bo, to establish you in the land, so that you would never be exiled from that land. The Sephora was saying a different cheshbon. The Sephora was saying that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu gives up remains with us permanently. He gave us the Torah. The Torah has never been lost. Had Moshe Rabbeinu been the one to bring us into Eretz Yisrael, we could never have been exiled from it. Because what Moshe Rabbeinu gives cannot be taken away. So therefore, by Yisabel Hashem di leman Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with me on your account, the reason is, mipnei shehayiti mitaveh lekayem etchem bo kedei shelo tigalu mimenu liolam, and that was not possible. Why? V'hu kevar nosa yado lizroschem magoyim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already decreed to exile you at a later date. So see, please, how the Sephora, in his own way, is approaching a problem which had already been presented to us last week in the Ora Chaim HaKadosh. And interestingly enough, if you look back on last week's Sidra, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Im Yireh Ishbo Anoshim Ho'eleh Hador Olah Hazeh, you will see there that the Sephora says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with me, says the Sephora, the reason why he was angry with me at the time of the Meraglim was Kedei Shetiskayim Bochem Tehiyol Edorim. Since on the night of Tisha B'Av it was decreed not only that the people would not be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, but that they would be exiled at a future date from Eretz Yisrael, it was not possible for me to come in with you, and that was already decreed at the time of the Meraglim. So the Sephora is on the same wavelength, as it were, as the Ora Chaim HaKadosh. Now, we move on now, not very far, I confess. We move on to the beginning of Perek Daled. And we come here to a most fundamental theme, and one which we will see in a moment through the eyes of the Divrei Dov. Listen to the statutes and judgments which I am commanding you to do, teaching you to do. The mitzvah of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra, which we've looked into in great detail in previous years, the different assessments of what Baal Tosif is, either to add on a new mitzvah or to add on a new detail in an already existing mitzvah, i.e. more than Arba Minim in the Arba Minim, more than Arba Parshios in the Arba Parshios, more than three brochos in Birchat Kohanim, etc. So these are the inyonim in Baal Tosif, and Baal Tigra is the corresponding scene. What I would now like to draw your attention to is the Divrei Dovid. I try as much as is possible and as much as time allows to present as wide a spectrum of Mephoshim as is possible in order to give some idea as to exactly what is going on in Torah scholarship of this kind. And here, I don't believe I've had the occasion before. I looked back through my notes and I was rather surprised and saddened to see that I had not brought ever the comments of the Divrei Dovid. Now the Divrei Dovid, of course, in the yeshiva world would not be known. But the Divrei Dovid is none other than the Taz. Of course, on Shulchan Aruch, one of the greats. But he also wrote a sefer on Rashi entitled Divrei David. And he makes a very beautiful observation on the juxtaposition of the Yisurim of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra to the Inyan of Baal Peor, which, as you see in Pasuk Gimel, Einechem Horoot Eitz Hashem Ofto Hashem Baal Peor, there seems to be some thematic link between Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra on the one hand and Baal Peor on the other. So the Divrei David says as follows. And I want to interest, I won't spoil the ending by telling you that on the last line that Divrei David himself says, which is rather surprising, remembering the tremendous humility and gaonis of these people, the Taz says at the end, what I have just told you, he says, is kafto v'ferach. In other words, what we would say in rabbinic circles, lachem de lachem. So we shall not, we're not allowed to add on. Says Rashi, giving an example, to put five fashios instead of four into the spirit. Okay. From now on, I have to tell you the honest truth, Rashi is not mentioned. Yes, the that thing. Now I want to have a look at another matter, says the Divrei. My Shaykhus Yeshla has taught us to Eitel. What connection is there between the union of Baal Joseph and Baal Tigra on the one hand, and the hate of Baal Peor? Vesu Koshim Apostle. Another problem that I have in the Pasuk is, why does it then go on to say, below Sigru Mimenu, Lishmor Es Mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem Hashem Anechi Mitzvah Es Tachim Es Tech? Why does it say? In other words, if all it was telling you was, be careful that you keep the commandments, then says the Taz, has it not already said in Pasuk Aleph, the Achor Yisrael Shema El Achukim, the El Amishpatim, Asher Anochim El Amir Eskem La'asot. So if the exhortation Lishmor is to tell you, please be careful with the mitzvot, it's already told you that in the prophet before. Shema El Achukim, etc. V'nire dekan bo lahatir derech klal. So therefore it appears to me that the Torah comes to warn us that we are not allowed, shelo yismoch adam al chokhmoto, levakesh ta'am lemitzvos Hashem yisporach. The general prohibition here, as I understand it, which has its repercussions for Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra, the general principle, I believe, that it is being enunciated here, and which is at the root of these prohibitions, and which will answer the question which I posed a moment or two ago as to what the connection between Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra on the one hand and Baal Peor is. The simple theme is, you are not allowed to rely on your own rationalization of exactly what it is that the mitzvah is there for. Because we know that King Solomon came to grief in this very area. Sha'on Omar, because the Pasuk says, regarding a king, lo yai velo noshim, let him not have too many wives, velo yasulav avo, that they not divert his heart. So what does Shlomo HaMelech say? Since the Torah says why you shouldn't have too many wives, so that they won't distract you away from the service of Hashem, but being as wise as I am, ani alde noshim velo yasiru levavi, I will marry as many wives as I want, but I am capable of, as it were, keeping my head. I will know exactly what is happening. To the east of the Bava Mitzia, as is related in the Gemara, Mishum de Dora Shloma Dama de Kro. Because Shloma HaMelech came to grief because he started to explain the mitzvah is only a mitzvah because, and therefore the mitzvah doesn't apply to me. And since it doesn't apply to me, I can go ahead and do what I want and disregard the mitzvah. And in the end, he came to grief. Because in the end he married more wives than he should have, and in the end they did distract him and cause him to go away. Elo, you should know, say Chazal, or Israel who al noshim afilu ki avigail. When the Torah says you're not allowed to marry wives because they may distract you, that harm is incidental. The fact of the Gemara is you're not even allowed to marry tzaddikuses if all of them are as kosher and as the righteous as Abigail. Below Darshin and Tama de Kro, and we are not allowed to ourselves offer our own interpretation. I, the Afilu Rabbi Yehuda, to make you, Shom. I, Rabbi Yehuda, over there says, yes, that is the reason why you're not allowed to marry many wives. Yes. Even Rabbi Yehuda will admit, Haina Eichidah HaKotum Atmo Mefarish Adam. That's only where the Torah itself gives a reason, but where the Torah itself does not give a reason. No, I will go mock him shame the foolish hatam, eloah tome bakesh tam liyat mecho, who be shu zelit bo omim shayin, ki shayin tam ze noe, kisir e shalot hadin, ze otu lechule yalme. So therefore you have to know, you are not allowed to rationalize why it is the commandments have been given. It is a very, very dangerous enterprise. So therefore I say, says the Taz as follows, therefore the Torah proceeds to warn against it using our own rationalization. And what happens usually when we start to rationalize the commandments, we discover either of two things. We discover either that we have to add on, according to our understanding, another mitzvah or other mitzvahs to supplement that particular rationale. Or on occasion, we might come to the conclusion that since that is the rationale according to our understanding, and that rationale no longer applies, so that's a commandment that can go out of the book straight away. We also go there to Nechalukos, and in regard to the problem of rationalizing the commandment, the Torah separated it into two separate sections. Hainu be'asei, uvelos be'asei. The Omar Tehillah be'mitzvot asei, and the Torah spoke first of all in the area of positive commandments. The Hainu, Asher Anochi mitzaveh etzechem la'asuf. In the area of what I am commanding you to do, in the area of positive commandments, v'tirtzeh lomar midatecho, and you might be tempted to say of your own rationalization, kiven shedobo zeh nichol ha'kodesh baruch hu ani yoshef bo, you might say, since here we have a mitzvah, and obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves this mitzvah so much, otherwise he would not have commanded us to do it, so therefore I will add on another element to the mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me, I'm a Kohen, to give B'nai Yisrael three brachas. I can see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anxious that the B'nai Yisrael should receive brachas from Kohanim. I'll add another 25. Right? So therefore, and the Yosef of Kamosha Kotov, Gabi Birchat Kohanim, Osef Brocha Wachat, Alkein Omar Alzel, Al Tosef. Don't add on. Don't rationalize. Leave it as it is. The Ein Lechole, Leich Achar Machshav Otecho, do not go after your own rationalization. So with the L in the area of positive commandments, we are given the introduction of Shema Lachukim, Asher Anachim Melameid Etchem La'asot, what I'm telling you to do, leave them alone. Don't say to yourself, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do these mitzvot, he must love them so much, so therefore, wherever I can add on a new element in any of those mitzvot, how praiseworthy would that not be? I'll put in an extra part in the Tefillin, I'll take an extra item with the Avaminim. No. No, sir. Chomesh Parshios. Don't go near the mitzvah. Further, then the Yachatach Omar b'mitzvah closer. And then the Torah goes on to discuss the negative commandment. Kagon inyan shlomo shagor ha-mitzvah lo yarveh. Mikolach machshobo shalom. In regard to the negative commandments, whereby rationalization we might come not to add on. We might come to subtract. We might say, yes, that's a negative commandment which applies to him, to her, but not to me, because I understand the rationale of that mitzvah. And that rationale of the mitzvah makes it inappropriate for me to keep it, and on the contrary, it's irrelevant for me. Okay, Omar, therefore the Torah says in regard to the negative commandment, lo sigruhu mimenu, do not subtract from any of those mitzvahs. Lishmor. But make sure that every one of those negative commandments is to be kept. As the Taz goes on to say, that the word lishmor is an indication of negative precepts. Lo ta'asu kein don't. So let me go back again to the very, very fundamental thesis. Says the Taz, there are two areas in the Torah where rationalization can bring a person to grief. Either in the area of positive commandments, since the individual rationalizes that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants these mitzvot to be performed, if I can possibly add on some new extra dimension to these mitzvot, how pleased would HaKadosh Baruch Hu not be? Close those teeth. Don't meddle. Leave it as it is, because the emphasis is, you don't know what it's all about. Next, we come into the area of negative commandments, where the rationalization leads to different conclusions. The rationalization leads to other conclusions such as, doesn't apply nowadays, doesn't apply to me, doesn't apply in warm countries, doesn't apply in cold countries, whatever it may be. No. Lo siglu mimenu, don't interfere with any of the negative commandments. On the contrary, lishmor, be careful and be particular that each of the negative commandments is observed. So the theme, therefore, of Baltosif and Baltigra, as I see it, says the Taz, is the prohibition against allowing the rationalization of mitzvot to affect one's performance of the mitzvot. Now, this is a crucial theme, and we have explored it before, and it is imperative that I say just a word or two about it. There is absolutely no question that rationalizing the mitzvot is a kosher enterprise. We have it in the Sefer HaRambam, in the Mora Nevuchim, we have it in the Sefer HaChinuch, we have it in Hirsch, you can go as far back as you want to go back. There is no question that rationalization is a kosher enterprise. However, that is provided we accept and understand that whatever reasons we humans offer for these mitzvot is conjecture, suggestion, supposition, but not fact. And therefore, never, chas v'sholom, are we allowed to allow any rationalization or any theorizing that we enter into in regard to the mitzvot to become of practical significance or consequence to its observance. Very, very important. And the classic case that I bring is a case which I brought some weeks ago when we learned Gemara Megillah, and worthwhile mentioning again. There is a Mishnah in Brochah. The Mishnah in Brochah says, a person who says, Al Kantipo Yagiu Rachamecha Mishatkin. A person who will say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the same as you have had Rachmonas on the camp people, when you told us to send away the mothers before you take the fledgling, so have mercy on us. A person who says that prayer, Mishaskin, we silence him. Why, says the Gemara, because he is intimating that the reason for this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKohen is Rachamim. And it's not Rachamim, it's a gezeira. It's a decree. You've got to send away the mother if you want to take the fledgling. Why? Basically. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, if you look into the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim, the Rambam tells you there that the reason for Shiluach HaKohen is to teach us to be merciful, to encourage us to be Molei Rachamim, Rachmonim, Baishonim, Gom LeKatonim. And the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah says, like the Mishnah in Baruch, Ha'omer Al-Kazim Ha'yadir Rachamecham Mishatkinler. Of course, people who don't know any better will say, well, the Mora Nevuchim was written with his professorial hat on, and Mishnah Torah was written while he was choking his beard. So you can't really bring a contradiction. Mora Nevuchim is for the Hamonah, for the proletariat, and the Masonic inside of the Yeshiva, and the Mishnah Torah is Geshim Parun. So there's no harm, there can be contradiction. Says the Taisa Jump in Chatzashah. Not true. How am I? Very beautiful. Take the children to the follow. The Mora Nevuchim is giving you Tali Hamitzos, they are suggestions. When a person davens, he can only echo thoughts which are 100% true. Everything that a person says in prayer must be 100% true, as clear as possible. Says the Taisa Shogun, so in Tfilah, where you're addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot say, in the same way as you have had Rachamim on the Kansipa, so have Rachamim on me. Because that implies that for certain, that is the reason. And we don't know for certain. It looks likely, but it's not guaranteed. So the Taisa Shogun again makes the same distinction. There is a difference between reasons which are suggested as possible and reasons which are given as definitive. Definitive we don't have. That's out of the question. Definitive we don't know. As far as possibilities are concerned, yes, there are many books which have been written and very beautiful themes which have been observed. Some people say the reason why you go back into the mikveh in order to become purified is to remind us of the amniotic fluid, of rebirth. Beautiful idea. Aryeh Kaplan brings it in one of his many memorable works. To say what Achinuch says in Mitzora, that when we go into the mikveh, it is because at the beginning of Sheish Shemei Bereishis, everything was water. And so we go back into water, it's like a recreation. Wonderful! Oh, but the halacha, not worth a penny. How is that? We don't mean any harm against these rabbis. What we're saying is that what they are suggesting are suggestions of a halacha lamaisa. That what we should say, because it's supposed to be compared to Sheish Shemei Bereishis, Sheish Shemei comes all the way together in Ikmer. I mean, what has Benny to God make? Well, you can make a suggestion. More than that, not. Let's go back. So now, what we have here is the underlying theme in Baltosef and Baltigra, and the dangers that lie in rationalization. There's the Divrei Dover. The Alzeh Omar. And concerning that very theme, says that Moshe Rabbeinu Einechem Horaroth, you yourself saw what happened to Balfour. Right? What happened at the worship of Balfour? We lost 200,000 Jews at Balfour. 24,000 from Magepa. And Hidugu Ish Anokov, Rashi says, each die and killed two people, and there were 88,000 Dionysians. 176,000 plus 24,000 is 200,000. Now what happened at Balfour? How do you worship Balfour? The Horu Atzmon B'Avodas Peor. 4,000 is 200,000. Now what happened at Balfour? How do you worship Balfour? The Horu Atzmon B'Avodas Peor. What they did was, the way in Peor was worshipped, was they used to excrete in front of the idol. So why did they do so? Mipenei shehoyu sevurim shehaluchu achar hatam shelo yechavid etu avodah zarah. Because they began to make cheshbeinus. Nah! That's not a worship. That's not an idol worship. Worship is when you honor someone. Worship is when you show respect. Here is the very opposite. On the contrary, you're showing the utmost disrespect in front of the idol. So they were convinced by the rationalization that there was nothing wrong in Balfour. Balfour was the exception. Him you can worship all day long, because there is no problem of honoring him, because the avodah by which he is worshipped is a disgrace for us. Elo rotsil avazel so poruat mukenegdo. The aval bichein, and nevertheless, hishmi dom hakadosh baruch hu. Hakadosh baruch hu wiped them all out. Why? Because you see that it makes no difference why it is that you do what you do in front of Peor. The fact of the matter is that is the way he is worshipped. And if you do that, you are worshipping him. And worshipping Avodah Zarah brings other things in its wake. And one thing leads to another. And before you know where you are, etc., etc. So the ultimate proof that rationalization is a dangerous enterprise, concerning which I am commanding you now in regards of Baltosef and Baltigra, is the area of Balfour. The Atem, and I say to you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Hadreikim, no. You stay close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo sozuzu min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't move away from him. Afilu bozeh, even in rationalization. Mikayach tamachem. And if you do that, Chayim kulechem ayim. That's the way you stay alive. That's the way you stay alive, Jewish. When you recognize that what we have been given are mitzvot, which are Kodesh Baruch Hu alone understands with certainty what the rational rationale is, what the reasoning behind them is, and for us to embark on an enterprise through which we act upon our rationalization. Not just leave it as an academic exercise, which is what's meant to be, even according to the Rambam and the Chinuch and all the others. If we start making that as a tool with which either to invent new or discontinue old, then we are in big trouble. And that is why the Tzav Yehoshua, Let his heart not be weak. In other words, let his faithful be clear. Let him also, as leader, not lead you into those areas whereby encouraging rationalization and acting upon rationalization, he, as leader, could lead you into another national catastrophe. Okay. So that's the Gibraltar. To another national catastrophe. Let me now turn to a topic which we looked into last week. Derech Agav, en passant, in order to identify the difference between Sefer Devarim and the other Svarim of Torah. You may remember the last word was with the Maharal. The Maharal explained that in Sefer Devarim it is the Surat HaMekabel, and in the other Arba Svarim it's the Surat HaNoseh. That is why even those mitzvos which are repeated in Sefer Devarim, which have already been mentioned in previous Svarim, they are repeated with increased explanation. Because the explanation is necessary for the Mekabel. The Tosefta's Biur is not necessary for the Nosei. So that's the Surah. And the classic example which we looked at last week was that in Yisro, the reason for Shabbos is Kisheshes Yomim, also Hashem is Hashem is Oret, and in regards to in Invo, Eschanan, in the Lucho Shdiot, Zeichel Etziyat Yisro. And of course, I don't need to remind you, we've looked into this particular matter through many eyes over the years, the Malbim, Ksava Kabbalah, etc. And this evening we will have a look at two fascinating insights. So let's have a look first of all at the Pasuk itself, Perek Hei, Pasuk Tesva. Perek Hei, Pasuk Tesva. V'zochar tov yevet o yisir v'yeret zayim, v'yotzi acho ha-shem alokecho mishom v'yot chazok v'zeron etuyo, al tein tzirecho ha-shem alokecho la'aseu s'shem ha-shem. So the Pasuk there seemingly identifies Yetziyat Mitzrayim as the reason for keeping Shabbos. Says the Sephorno, wonderful Sephorno, Leman Yonuach Avdecho V'amotecho Konocho, so that your male servant and your female servant should rest like you, V'zocha Toki Yevet Hoyisa. Now, that's of course a joining of two Psukim, Yudalad and Tezvav, says the Sephorno. Hine mitzvah tivisa tavehema. Why did our Kodesh Baruch Hu command us to allow our animals to rest? He kadesh yonua chavevet, so that our slaves can rest. They don't have to look after the animals. They don't have to work with them in the field. So mitzvah menuchas chavevet. And why have we been commanded to allow our slaves to rest? Zeicher litzia mitzrayim shehishbis po haKodesh Baruch Hu eso avoda. If you want to know, says the Sephorno, why you and I have to keep Shabbos and rest and not do any work, the answer is Kisheshes Shemim Oso Hashem Yisrael Shemayim Yisrael Oret Esayom Yisrael Hashem Omayonach Vayim Hashvii. If you want to know why Lo Tzase Komelocho Va'avdecho Va'amos Necho, that the non-Jewish slaves, female and male, which are in your ownership, why are they not allowed to work on Shabbos? The answer is, because you should remember that in the same way as HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a halt to your slavery in Mitzrayim, he is bringing a halt every Shabbos to their slavery with you. There is no contradiction to this opponent. The Kisheshes Yomim is why the Yiddish Balabos has to keep Shabbos. And the Zohar, to be ever the Yisro, is the reason why the Goyshke Avodim and Shvachos that are owned by the Jewish owner have to keep Shabbos. Now allow me to invoke my favorite word, masterpiece. Let us have a look at the Meshachah. And see the beauty and diversity of it. And again, to invoke the Divrei David, we are not going to suggest on the basis of any of the timing that we should or should not make Yiddish. You know what I mean? These are themes which we're looking at. So again, to raise the simple question, how come that in Parshas Yisro, the reason for Shabbos is Kisheshes Yomim, Maaseh Bereishis, and in Parshas Vayetzchanan, the reason seems to be Yetziyat Mitzrayim.
says the Meshech Chochmas for us, and we will see that it all has to do with singing. Wonderful. Horoso, this particular pasuk, which seems to insist that the rationale for Shabbos is grounded in Yetziat Mitzrayim, no, I'll explain. De Iker Mitzvah Shabbos Hu Kamo Sha'omo V'Dibros Horishonim. Let there be no doubt in your minds, as the Meshech Chochma, that the reason for Shabbos is like it is said in the first Luchos in Parshat Yisro, Kishay, Sheshomim, Mosor, etc., 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 my civilization. How pain, Teirach Hashem, Eshayim HaShabbos Vayakar Eshayim. End of story. That's the reason for Shabbos. My civilization. Shehu Moreh Al Chidosh HaOlam. Shabbos, therefore, is the day that points to the fact that we believe the world was created ex nihilo, v'sheyeslo ohel vore umanhi, and that the world has got a creator and one who directs its affairs, v'oto hakol b'mechuvon, and God did everything with precision and with purpose, asher ze edut al ikrei hoemuno v'avore, which are of course part of our basic faith in the Almighty. Ubelo zeh, and without faith in a creator and a being who is involved in the everyday affairs of man, without that, ein mokum, there is no place for dach, for religion, there is no place for believing in hashkocha, there is no place for believing in schavi onesh, etc., after the bracket. And therefore, lochein, mi she'on eino shomer shabbat, hu mumar lechol hateret kula. Therefore, a person who desecrates, defiles Shabbos, he is regarded as a person who has renounced the entire Torah. And according to many poskim, as you well know, a mechallel Shabbos b'far hetzi, there are even problems about whether that person can be included in a minyan, whether that person can be given an aliyah, and whether that person can be allowed to touch wine. So there are practical ramifications from this theme, Misha Eino Shoma Shabbat, who Mumala Kola Tuna Kura, Kizem Maktav, the Yesod HaTorah. Okay. Yet, Tavach HaShayla says the Meshech Chochma. The Shabbat is a sign that points to the Creator. We keep Shabbat to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for everything that is in the world. And everything that happens is under his direction and guidance and involvement. So why didn't he give Shabbat to the Goyim? That's a good question. Rak, mitzad zeh, if that's the whole cheshbon in Shabbat, halo hoyo roi v'noos lechol bo'ei ho'olo, afle ben noach lishmor al Shabbat. Hey, everybody should have had a Shabbat. Because in regards to a day which points to a creator and to the fact that the world was brought into being by a borei olam, hello shaveru im hayisraeli, a goy is no different from a yid in that basic premise. Havu the omer adon kol, because both a goy as well as a yid were brought into being through the creator. So how come that the yidden ended up with Shabbat and the goy? On the country, why do we find pakes at Meshech Chochma to the country? Ki ben noach heshovat chayav mitzah, the Gemara Sanhedrin, a guy who keeps Shabbos tagis chayav mitzah. We're not going to go into that at the moment, mitzah v'dei shemayim, exactly what it means, but for sure, I would allow myself with my usual Irish hyperbole to say, he's not encouraged to keep Shabbos. Right? So how come? Not only are we the ones who are commanded, but everybody else has been, quote-unquote, dissuaded. What's that? Omna, says the Meshech Chochma, when we keep Shabbos, we give edus. We give testimony to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the world into creation. Who is more appropriate to act as witness for God than a people whose very existence and whose continued historical development is a total testimony to the creator, the existence of a creator. Omno mihu hameyid ki habore borah ha'olam b'mechum. If you want to know what nation there is who, apart from anything else, are constantly offering testimony to the fact that there is a God in the world who has created the world, halo rak ha'uma ha'yisroeli. It is the Jewish people. Asher am yoseh mehar me'ravavos elef
out to Yom Yeshivot Mitzrayim, because this was a people whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought out in their millions from Eretz Mitzrayim, the Matos, the Osos, who were Moshim HaTorah Mitzrayim, with plagues which transformed and which defied the laws of nature and which could only have come from God, for whom nature is only a tool. Vehika ha'oretz v'ho'avir v'ha'chai v'ha'medaber u'bo kayom u'v'yamod eishlailo u'v'yamod onon yomon u'v'mon tilkalom. So the Jewish people who came out of Mitzrayim, their very exodus from Egypt and their survival in the years which immediately followed the exodus is adequate testimony to the existence of a creator for whom I mentioned before the laws of nature are tihine yachomer biyadayot. So therefore, asher kol eile lo yaseh rak borei hativa v'yotah, hu yachol lishenotu lehofkot lechom achot, hu mishomer lalechem lechalkin, hu yomer liyavi lechalkin. So that is why the prophet Yeshayah says, v'yatem edai, you are my witnesses and I am God. Without your testimony, nobody knows about me, says the Navi. Shehein hein hamayidam al himtia ho'olim in a weather of halvaya, hu kamosh omer, etc., etc., etc. So therefore, go back to the pulpit now, and you will remember that you were slaves in Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought you out with a strong arm and a strong hand and an outstretched arm, which whatever way we want to speak about it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us out with miracles. So our very beginning as a nation was to offer testimony to the fact that there is a creator in the world. We are the most potent witnesses. So now we say, not Al Kim Siva Khashem the Kekalas Shabbat. Not therefore did God command you to keep the Shabbat. Al Kim Siva Khashem Alokek. Therefore did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command you and not the Goyim. Do you want to know the reason why there is a Shabbat? Do you want to know why we are the only ones who got the commandment to keep Shabbat, not the Goyim? Because we're the best witnesses. Because our national existence, our whole historical past, every moment of our survival is as it were testimony to the existence of a Borei Olam, and therefore there are no more suitable witnesses to offer testimony to Kishesh's coming, or so Asimus, or Shemaim, or etc., etc., than us. Al Kain, Sivacho, Hashem, or Jechalat, and Hashem. So therefore, as you can appreciate, we're not going to go into it from too many points of view. As you can appreciate, the Shabbos, as it exists, as a day, has a relevance not only for Jew, but also for non-Jew. Unlike the Moadim, unlike the festivals. Because the festivals are unique to B'nai Yisrael. Pesach has nothing to do with the Chinese. Or Shavuot with the French. Or Sukkot with the Germans. All got to do with events and episodes which happen to us. Therefore, a Goy has no shaykhahs whatsoever with Yom Tov. He has a shtick of shaykhahs with Shabbos. But he doesn't keep it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to him. But there is an element there to the extent that he has some relationship with Shabbat. Kisheshet Yolim, created Goyim as well as you. Says Meshech Chochma, and that has a Tzitzol HaHalacha. That's it. Says Meshech Chochma, to my mind, that is the reason why. If a Yidnish Dogadach passes away on Yom Tov Rishon, Gemara and Beitza, Goyim can do the Leviathan. Yom Tov Rishon. It's not Tzubo Amim, is the Lash of the Gemara and Beitza. Nish Dogadach, a Yid dies on Shabbat, no heter for Goyim to have anything to do with the Levi. It's not appropriate, says Meshech Chochma, for Goyim, who have a shaykhah with Shabbat, to be involved with the Yid in that way on Shabbat. Because of the fact that there is a certain shaykhah, which a Goy has thematically with Shabbat. He hasn't been given it, but he has a shaykhah. Let me now, as a final offering, bring to your attention one of the most fascinating items that I've come across in many a year. And that is an article which I came across some time ago, part of Yankov. I mean, I only need half a reason for bringing in Yankov, as many of you will know. But he writes, I am sorry to have to say it in this way, he writes such a lot of sense. It's absolutely heartwarming to. I mean, even on Thursday morning, I was telling the
I was telling the lady Shear, you excuse me for an excursion for a moment. If you haven't read the biography, I suggest it is summer reading of the highest order, I have to tell you. I mean, all the papers telling you what summer reading. Next to McLaren, Sir Yankel is the best summer reading you can have. He has an episode there which gives you an idea of the man. Before we look into this, we'll go on a minute or two later. Rabbi Yaakov suggested a shidduch to his son. A wonderful story. You know, we have to keep our balance in this crazy Jewish world. The story from Rabbi Yaakov helps us to try to retain that balance. The story goes, Rabbi Yaakov suggests a certain girl as a shidduch for his son, and the son meets her, and he comes back and he says, I'm not happy. So why are you not happy? He says, She reads the New York Times. Here's Rabbi Yaakov. It's Chalamaita. Says Rabbi Yaakov, I'll tell you a story. There was once a man who was destined to become a gaon in Israel. This is a Tomim, Gesitz, Alan, Father Nachman, the Gemara, and his parents suggested a most amazing girl for him. The only problem is she had a hump. So the parents decided, if their son will say nothing about her, we'll say nothing about her, because otherwise she's absolutely something special about us. Minister of the Shemaim. So the son comes back after the interview, and he's in his element. And what a wonderful girl, she's a girl for me. So the parents could not control themselves. They couldn't contain themselves. So they said to this young man, but she has a hump. To which the boy replied, don't they all? He never met girls. So Rabbi Yaakov says, you're coming back and telling me she reads the New York Times, don't they all? And then goes on to say, no, that's okay. Please take it home with you. So Rabbi Yaakov, better to have a wife who reads the New York Times than a wife who tells you off for reading the New York Times. Something to think about. Let's proceed. Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov, as you'll see, it is in some way related to our parsha, but it is so important and so basic, we'll have a look. Mekubal hu eitzel kol man min be'ikrei dotzeinu. It is something which is accepted as completely axiomatic regarding our faith. Ki ha-Torah ha-metzuya ato be'yodeinu, that the Torah which we have in our hands now, hi ha-nesuna le-Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, and there is no doubt in anybody's mind, the Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra, Hillel, the Rambam, and the Ramah, everybody took the same Ave Minim that we take. And all of them blew the shofar like we blow. And the same tefillin, and the same tzitzis, and the same mezuzahs. Hein shahoyu, b'nei ha-tanoim, ha-mo'noim, ha-goyim, ha-rabonim, ha-rishonim, ha-acharonim. All those mitzvahs which are kept like they were kept, mezuzahs, so they are kept today. The mitzvah which is most perplexing in this regard is Talmud Torah. Actually, door to door, to the extent that we see mamish from generation to generation, rowing on it, we see shemishtanim opane kiyum mitzvah zu. This particular mitzvah has gone undergoes change after change after change. The kama midinim siblu suro achelet legamri, and many of its rules have received a different aspect altogether. Something happened to Talmud Torah. It kept on changing. How to teach? Says the Yaakov, you may be a little perplexed by paragraph one. Of on a varan de Moreno. Let me explain to you what I mean. Bitechilo, the Gemara of a Basta, daf kapala from another. Originally, Misha Yeshlo Av, Malamdo Torah, person who had a father, and his father taught him Torah. Misha Ein Lo Av, Lohayon Lo Materi. He never thought, he never thought. It was that. My daughter, what did the rabbis in? How did the rabbis derive such a lesson that the father teaches? Because it says, v'limadetem osam, and they doubt not v'limadetem osam, v'limadetem atem et b'neichem. Father teaches children, nobody else. Hiskinu sheyihi, so what happens? Then, after a while, they decided, no. Hiskinu sheyihi moshivim melandei tinokas for Yerushalayim. All of a sudden they decided something new. Let's start setting up schools in Yerushalayim. V'nachapotuk, kimitzion teitei Torah, v'aratem Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, V'yadayin, and even with that new institution, Misha Yeshlo Av Hoyomalo Melamdo, the person who had a father, a boy who had a father, his father brought him to Yerushalayim, and he learned there, Misha Ein Lo Av, Lo Hoyomalo Melamdo, if he didn't have a father to bring him to Yerushalayim, he stayed at home and nobody taught him still. So what did they do? Hiskinu Shiyihiyu Moshivim Bechol Tzlach Utzlach, they instituted that now they should have schools in every major city, and the boy should be brought there at the age of 16 and 17. You know what happened? These boys came 16, 17 year olds, I don't need to tell you what you can say, but you can't say to 16 and 17-year-olds. Oh, you're never so easy at all. They never got angry with a few of them. If I come out, they used to kick at the door and go out. And the boy, Yoshua Ben Gamla, was detailed until Yoshua Ben Gamla came, and he said, no, every city got to have, and you got to bring them into school at the age of 6 and 7. Have you ever seen such a mahapecha in your life? Started off parents. Then started off school, Yerushalayim, age 16, 17. Then in every city, then in every town, make up your mind. Says Rav Yankel, Yesod Hadova Bechol Eile Lasi Da'atihu, the explanation of this phenomenon is very simple, in my opinion. Because the prophet says, and it's in this week's parsha, Ulemadatem Osam Ushamartem La'asosam. Teach your children so that they'll know what to do. Godol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. Learning is only of value if it brings a person to Shmiras HaMitzvah. Learning is the tool by which you come to be a Shomer Mitzvah. HaMaisa, it is the practical resolution of the learning. That is what defines how Talmud Torah should be pursued in any particular generation. Because the end justifies the means. And we've got to alter the means if we see that in a particular generation, the ends are not going to be achieved by the means which were adopted 2,000 years ago. So he says like, therefore, im shinui ho'itim, with the changing times, the Khalifa Sadoros and the changing generations, Mishtanin Ofane Halimud, the way in which Torah is taught changes, the Helkei HaTorah Hanil Modim, and the syllabuses are changing. Bitechilo originally, Kishakal Yisrael Hoyu Lemude Hashem, when every Jewish Balabas is given Ayid HaKamed Chacham, and every father by the virtue of his knowledge was quite capable of his taking his child through shop. There's no question the father is your best teacher. Because who is there who understands the child and who understands his talent, his emotional needs more than the father? What way to teach him which will be most successful? How to bribe him? Abolacha came. But afterwards, the Mesha Hazman, with the passage of time, Shinitzravu Ame Ho'ore, that unfortunately every father was not a Tamil Chacham. To him came, and if we were to leave it as it was originally, in Ninkot Shirak Ho'ogil Amedis Beno, it's a him came B'nei Ame Ho'ore, Jihiyu Ame Ho'ore, and Tokor Azorus. Then Ame Ho'ore, Patazun Ame Ho'ore, and Ame Ho'ore, and Ame Ho'ore, it would never change. So therefore they realize that the education must be taken out of the home. Is Vishinantam Libanecha originally meant Vishinantam Libanecha? Because who is the better teacher? Knowledge, of course, has to be assumed. But if everybody has knowledge, father's the best teacher. But now when every father cannot be taken for granted to be a Talmud Chacham, it is Sina Lahushiv Malamdim. They brought in Malamdim, and they thought, you know what to do? The best place to encourage the boys to go and learn will be in Yerushalayim. Sheshom Ro HaTalmidim Et HaKedusha HaShoreret V'chayim V'Kohanim Ha'oshim V'Avodosom, and that will certainly have its effect on the Talmidim, and they will be able to become educated into Torah, and they will keep. And we assume that the father had enough knowledge to be able to teach his child during the earliest years, so that when he came to Yerushalayim, we only needed to have schools when they got into the real heavy material. 16 and 17 is enough. But then what happened? They discovered that when the children were coming at the age of 16 and 17, that they were already had no grounding, and they'd already made up their minds about what they wanted to be for a living. So therefore, you were lost. So we had to start putting up schools in every city. And then many people couldn't get the children to the city, so we put them into every town and village. Now this is, I'm not sure whether we realize what an important essay this is. Rabbi Yaakov is telling us that the criterion of a successful Jewish education is Shmirah HaMitzvah. Not Rashi Talmud. It's not. The prime criterion for a successful Jewish education is a child who knows how to daven, a child who knows how to put on talis tefillin, a child who knows what the dinim of Shabbos are, a child who knows all the various halachas of kashrus, v'chulei, v'chulei. Therefore, the drashas that are mentioned in Baba Basra, those drashas were invoked because it was appropriate to invoke them at specific times. They are not be-all and end-all drashas. They are not drashas, keep it still, to tell you you can't have a cheder in New York. They were drashas which were invoked at a particular time in order to impress upon the parents the importance of doing what Chachamim understood was best for their child. And that, says Rabbi Yaakov, answers another question. Since the criterion for a successful Jewish education is in Shmiras HaMitzvos, it will enable us to answer a question which has puzzled the greatest of the Rishonim and Acharonim. If you look in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Hei, you have there the first Jewish religious knowledge curriculum. Ben Chomesh Lemikra, Ben Esther Lemishna, etc., 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 etc. I'm sorry to have to tell you it's been scrapped. You look in every respectable quote-unquote house of Jewish learning, and as Rabbeinu Tam has already pointed out, you see, Gemara, 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 Gemara. On the contrary, people see you opening Nach, they ask you whether you think you're in a university or you're in a yeshiva. Why? So the Shachtain is a few things. Otherly, Acharon is this Rabbi Yaakov's a portion. The purpose of a Jewish education is to make a person into a Sherma Torah Mitzvah. Therefore, it is important that a child study all the halachic sources. In the time when that Mishnah was written, there were still Tanoim who were darshaning halachos from Mikra. But that stopped. And now, you open any Shilas and Shuvas, you will see that they go back where? They don't go back to the post. They go back to the Gemara. The Gemara is the elemental halachic text. The Gemara is for us, since the closing of the Gemara, what the Torah was in the time of the Mishnah. And that is why there are no apologies. Because since the crucial element in Jewish education is that child knows the halacha, therefore it is important that we teach the child halacha from the most basic sources. But nowadays we don't go back as far as they used to go back to the most basic, namely Mikra. So therefore Mikra is out. When it comes to Jewish education, which is to make ulamadatim of them, ushamadim la'asosam, we go back to the Gemara, 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 Gemara. That is our text. In fact, we invoke Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who says that Gemara for us is not Torah Shabbal Peh, it's Torah Shabbichtam. Gemara is for us what Mikra was for them. A very, very powerful piece and well worth looking into.